Bibles tonight. We're going to open to several places. I want you to please keep your Bibles open tonight, because we're going to do a Bible study, lesson, message, sermon tonight, starting in the book of Matthew, chapter number 17. Matthew chapter 17. I ask you to pray for me tonight. Lord will help me. I need His help. And I want to remind you that I said this morning, somebody asked me about the message from last Sunday night. I was going to continue it on counterfeits, and I'm going to wait until next Sunday night to do that. If that's okay, I believe this is what I need to do tonight. We had a lot of response on the message last week on counterfeits, and it was a two-part sermon. Part one was last week, and so I'll do part two next Sunday night. And if you didn't get the tape on last Sunday night's message, I'd really encourage you to get it. We talked about counterfeits, and we'll do that next. But tonight, we're going to change it, and this service tonight will be, in my opinion, the most important service that we'll have in the next two months. What we do with this service tonight, and I know that you understand where I'm going to be talking about. People, we're living in a world that we're on enemy territory. We're like our soldiers in Iraq. We're on enemy territory here in this world. It's a battle to get anything done. It's a spiritual battle that we're in to fight. We don't fight with swords and guns, the war that me and you're in. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They don't have, you can't shoot bullets and stuff. We're fighting a spiritual war. And there's one way to fight this war that we're in, and I'm going to show it to you here in Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse number 19. Verse number 19 says, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out?" Hold your finger there. You could translate that as, why didn't our church have a revival? Why couldn't me and my wife work things out? Why couldn't my teenager get their heart right? Why couldn't I get the victory over this sin that's in my life? Why? That's what they asked. Lord, why couldn't we win this thing? And Jesus said in verse 20, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind, hard kind, rough kind, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." The words "and fasting" are left out of your new modern versions of the Bible. They like to change that word. So tonight, I know that you don't want to hear this, and I dread it myself in my flesh. But actually, my spirit cries out for the Lord tonight, and I'm happy to be able to preach what I'm going to preach tonight. Amen. I'm going to preach about fasting. The hardest thing for me in the Christian life is to tell this flesh no and push that plate back and not eat. Prayer is a very hard thing. Real praying is hard. But fasting is even harder. There's over 80 references in the Bible to fasting. We're living in a day when our God is our belly. Amen? We literally, in this country, we live to eat. Americans make up 6% of the world's population. We eat a major part of the food, and the other 94% of the world fights over the rest of the food. We have 15 times as much property and land and money as the rest of the people in the world. Here in America, we live to eat. As a matter of fact, the first sin ever committed by a human being was eating. It sure was. It wasn't murder or adultery or lying. It was putting something in your mouth when God said not to eat, not to do that. Now, tonight, fasting is not a hunger strike. It's not like we're going on strike, God, and you got to do what we... That's not the point or the purpose in fasting at all. Real Bible fasting has a much, much deeper significance than that. In Psalm 35:13, David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. In Psalm 69, verse 10, David said, I chastened my soul with fasting. Fasting is humbling of the soul. Fasting is a chastening. We give ourselves a whipping. We get ourselves in line, deny our flesh, so that God will be able to work in our life. Basically tonight, there are three kinds of fast in the Bible. They all mean doing without food. People say, well, I'm fasting ball games, or I'm fasting TV, or I'm fasting this or that. Every real fast, the meaning of it, is not eating food. There are three kinds in the Bible. Number one, there's a supernatural fast. That means a fast that would be impossible, humanly speaking, unless God worked a miracle. Moses did this in the book of Exodus when he went up on the mountain and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible said that he didn't eat anything or drink anything. Now, it's not impossible to go 40 days without food. Plenty of people do. I know people, I have friends of mine that have fasted 40 days. I do not know anybody who went 40 days without drink, no water, no kind of liquid nourishment at all. I don't know anybody that's ever done that unless it was supernatural. As a matter of fact, I don't know this for sure, but it sounds a little bit like it, that Moses went up and he got the Ten Commandments, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He came down, he saw the people going crazy, threw the things down and busted them. And as far as we know, he turned right around and went back up there and went another 40 days. And if there wasn't a little time in there, he went 80. That's supernatural. That's impossible. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor in California, Doug Fisher. He's fasted 40 days several times. Brother Fisher told me, he said the first time he went on a 40-day fast, he lost 57 pounds. He said he everything changed his life. I'll tell you more about that later. J. Harold Smith told the same story. And another friend of mine, Brother Sturgeon out in Montana, he'd done the same thing. I talked to these guys, and I asked them about it. And I'll tell you some of the benefits of that in just a few minutes. But that's a supernatural fast with no food or water. Then there's secondly, there's absolute fast. That's absolutely nothing. No food, no water. None. That's absolute. Even if Moses did have something to drink, or others did have something to drink on a 40-day fast, it's not supernatural. An absolute fast would be no food or water. The book of Esther, chapter 4, the Bible said she didn't eat nothing, she didn't drink nothing. It was an emergency. There's things come up in our lives, maybe a car accident with some of our relatives, when we say, God, I'm not eating nothing, I'm not drinking nothing. Oh God, would you hear my prayers? Oh God, and you just deny this flesh. That's what we call a absolute fast. Nothing. Nothing to drink. I have people ask me all the time, do you drink anything when you're fasting? Me personally, I drink water when I'm fasting. Only water. Just water. There's nothing in the Bible about drinking juice. There's nothing. I don't condemn you if that's the way you do it. But in the Bible, all they drank when they fasted was water. That's it. Now, I know what some of you is thinking. You're sitting there thinking, there's no way in the world that I can do that. Let's just listen to me for a few minutes tonight. I've got your attention, so just listen to what I'm saying. This will help every one of us in here tonight if we'll apply these principles to our life. They eat nothing, drink nothing in an absolute fast. In the book of Jonah, they did that same thing. The Bible said when God said He's going to destroy Nineveh, God had already said, I'm going to wipe them cities out. And brother, they got down, man and beast. And they got down like this, and they said, God spare us. And they didn't eat nothing or drink nothing, and God spared that city. I'm telling you, there is nothing in the Bible gets God's attention like praying and fasting. There ain't nothing. I don't care how good you are. There's nothing can get God's power on your life. You got a situation in your life like praying and fasting. I'm telling you tonight, it carries with it power and blessing that no other thing can do in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, you want God to work in your life? You push that plate back and call on the Lord. And the Bible said this kind goes not out but by prayer and fast. The animals fasted in Jonah. I mean, listen, a couple of youth rallies ago, my dog fasted. I made him fast. I said, bless God, if I ain't getting nothing, you ain't getting nothing. You say that's animal cruelty. No, it ain't. It ain't going to kill a dog to fast. Some of you, listen, it ain't going to kill it. Don't feed it for a day or two. And if it dies, I'll give you $100 from not eating. If it dies, not eating. I don't mean to shoot it or run over it. But if it dies in 2 days, I'll give you $100. Your dog ain't going to die. You say, well, that's cruel. No, it ain't. The cows did it in the book of Jonah. That's right. They sure did. They did. Now, and then there's what we call a partial fast. That's what we're talking about tonight. Common. Partial fast is water. You eat nothing, you drink water. You say, well, I just give up chocolate. No. You ought to do that anyway, once in a while. That ain't fasting. Giving up chocolate ain't fasting, people. I mean, you say, well, I ain't eat ice cream in 4 days now. I believe God's going to work. No. You're a long way from what the Bible talks about a fast. There's a partial fast in Daniel 10 of 21 days. There's a partial fast in the book of Isaiah, and then Isaiah chapter 40, and Daniel, and Acts 14. There's 21-day fast. There's 40-day fast. There's 14-day fast, that's 2 weeks. 21-day fast, that's 3 weeks. There's 7-day fast, that's 1 week. But the most common fast in the Bible are 1 day. Thank God. I'm glad. There's more happened when people fasted 1 day in the Bible than any other form or time limit of fasting. And I'm going to talk about that too. The book of Isaiah talks about the wrong motives for fasting. In Isaiah 58 and verse 4, it said their motives wasn't right. They fasted for the wrong reason. You don't fast for the wrong reason. The wrong reason to fast is that you appear unto men to fast. Amen? I've known people that did that. The Bible talks about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 6. It said, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites are, for they are disfigure their faces. In other words, it's the wrong reason to fast just so you can appear unto men to fast. I mean, I've known people come in like this. I'm fasting for the Lord. And you ain't getting nothing from the Lord. The Lord ain't going to bless it. The Lord ain't. You hide it. Your stomach's hurting, but you hide it. You don't even let nobody know it. Amen? You brush your teeth anyway and spit it out so your breath won't stink when you're fasting. You know why I say spit it out? Because when you went a couple of days without nothing, toothpaste tastes blessed like steak. Amen. It does. Man, I've fasted before, and I don't know that toothpaste. And I want to swallow it. I say, no, I'm spitting it out. You know what you do? It is a humbling. It is not to appear unto men to fast. If you get up and say, well, now don't nobody ask me to eat out or nothing, because I'm fasting for the youth rally. No, that you ain't getting nothing like that. That's wrong. The Bible said they disfigure their face. I'm doing this for the Lord. No, that ain't the way you do it. That is not, I don't know how you disfigure your face like that. That's what they did. That's the wrong way. And then the Bible talks about Paul himself fasting in 2 Corinthians and then often dispensation, in case you don't believe it's for the New Testament. Instead of fasting and praying, we are feasting and playing. If there's ever been a time when churches need to fast, it's now. If there's ever been a time, let me ask you something. Tonight, people, you tell me after service, you come up here and tell me after the service how many churches you know where the old time power is moving and sinners are getting saved. Now, I'm not talking about them somebody new moving in the community and stealing members out of another church and proselyting people from here to there. I'm talking about sinners walking in, getting saved off the street, whole time, Holy Ghost power. I want somebody to tell me how many churches you know where that's going on right now. You just don't see it much anymore. God knows we're more satisfied than we've ever been, and we're more backslid than we've ever been. I'm telling you, if we want God to give us a great youth rally, if we want God, wouldn't you like to see God get a hold of all these young people around here? Wouldn't you love to see our young people bawling their eyes out in the altar, living right when mom and daddy ain't even around and not have to check on them? And wouldn't you like to see God get a hold of your lost loved ones? Wouldn't you like to see your family touched? Wouldn't you like to see your marriage strengthened? Wouldn't you like to see everything? Listen, let me tell you tonight, it does not come by going to seminars. It does not come by Bible study somewhere. It comes by somebody getting alone with God and saying, dear God, would you send the old time power? And brother, till God sends His power. That's what we need in our churches tonight. Amen. The benefits of God's fast, according to Isaiah 58, are to loose the bands of wickedness. You say, Brother Danny, I got a sin. Listen to me, young men. Listen to me, young ladies. You say, Brother Danny, I've got a sin. And that sin seems like it keeps cropping up in my life. And every time I repent of it, I go back and do it again. And I repent of it, and I go back and do it again. Dear God, help me. Brother Danny, what in the world's wrong with me? There's one way you can get the victory over something like that, and it's not permanent. As long as you've got this flesh, it's still going to fight you. But the only way to get victory over sin is, like I said, pray and fast. The Bible said it'll loose the bands of wickedness. It'll undo the heavy burdens. It'll let the oppressed go free. It'll break every yoke. According to Isaiah 58, your mind gets clear. Do you know, I fast on Wednesdays, and I have for 18 years. I fast every Wednesday. Maybe two or three times a year I don't. So that would be 50 days a year. Now, I'm not bragging, I'm giving you an illustration. That's almost 2 months a year that I don't eat nothing during that day. 50 days. 60 would be 2 months. I'm not bragging. I need to do a lot more than I do. I try to do extra for the youth rally. And I've done that for 18 years. You know why? Because God, if I don't have God's help in my life, I can't make it. And I've noticed on the day that I fast, on Wednesday, all day, boy, the devil gets on me. He says, you're going to die. He said, you're never going to make it. And sometimes I feel weak. Sometimes you feel a little bit jittery and nervous. Sometimes you'll have a headache every time. That's the poisons coming out of it. We got so much toxic poison in our... That's why your tongue gets white. Tongue like that and scrape it off. That's poison coming out of you that you're full of. And if you fast a long time, every bit of that comes out. J. Harold Smith said when he fasted 40 days, he said his tongue was as pink as a baby's. He said he did not have... You know these little spots? You know most people my age got spots all over their hands and all that? I'm not saying I'm special or nothing. But brother, you know, he said every spot on him cleared up. You think I'm ugly now? You should see me if I wasn't fasting. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. I'm telling you, that's just physical benefits. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, you hear me, there is benefits that goes far beyond what you... In Judges chapter 20, they prayed and nothing happened. They prayed again and nothing happened. They prayed and wept and nothing happened. They fasted and God heard. In Judges 20 and verse 26, and they just fasted till evening. That's what I do most of the time. Now, starting this week, I'll be going all the way through. But normally I fast, like on Tuesday night, I'll eat my last little bite after I go run or something, and then I don't eat again until Wednesday night. That's a full 24 hours. But now, what I'll do during the youth rally is we'll not eat nothing from Tuesday night to Thursday morning. That's ever how many of that hours that is. You will never believe what a difference. If I preach revival, which I will be week after next on Wednesday night down in Georgia, and every night I get up to preach, you want to eat, you know, but did you know what eating does? It makes you sluggish. That's when all you want to go lay down and take a nap after you eat. You go eat, you ain't worth a dime for a couple of hours. And when you don't eat, on the night that I don't eat, the day that I don't eat, every time I feel a special power on that night that I don't feel Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday. That's why a lot of times I believe God gets real in here on Wednesday night. Yes, for the last couple of Wednesday nights, it seems like every time God honors that fast, your mind gets clear. You can think clearer after not having food. You really can. Your mind gets clear. Amen? You fasted and God heard and prayed. Ain't you tired of nothing happening? Aren't you tired of teaching in your Sunday school class and the kids getting nothing? Aren't you tired of singing in a choir and it seems like there's no... I get tired of that. I get tired of it when we go a few Sundays and nobody gets saved. And I'm tired of it, brother. Listen, I'm not up here just for my exercise. I want God to do something in our church. I want the Holy Ghost. Listen, I want God to do something that'll be real in our lives. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 21-27, Ahab fasted and God said this. God had already pronounced judgment and Ahab the king fasted and God said, I'm going to do it because I said I would, but I ain't going to do it in your lifetime. I'll do it in the lifetime of your children. He put off judgment till the next generation. It'll express your earnestness. The reasons are repentance from sin. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6, you fast to turn from your sin. You see, when that old belly starts hurting bad enough, you really don't want to sin that much. I mean, you want help from God. You want the Lord to help you. In Judges 20 and verse 26, they wept and fasted and worked. In 1 Samuel 20 and verse 34, Jonathan fasted for David's ill treatment. In 2 Samuel 1 and verse 12, they fasted. Joab killed Abner. David fasted one day. God heard. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and proclaimed the fast. He didn't order a fast. He proclaimed the fast. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21, then I proclaimed the fast and to seek God. And brother, the church started fasting. People started fasting and God moved. He proclaimed the fast. That's what I'm doing tonight. We got 40 days starting tomorrow. We have counterfeit copycat youth rallies have popped up all over the country. And they said, all we got to do is get a bunch of foolishness in here, have somebody come in and preach, serve pizza, and we'll have a great youth rally like Brother Danny has. They popped up all over the country. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, horses, motorcycles jumping over buses, pizza, all of that's fun, but that is not what makes the youth rally. That is not. All of that is vain. All of that is a waste of money. All of that's a waste of time. Unless God's power comes and breaks some young people's heart and they get saved and ride with God. You know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. You say, Brother Danny, I hate it when you do this because you're going to make us feel guilty and you're going to make us fat. Yeah, and you're going to live longer and happier and God's going to bless your family. Please, I'm being your friend. Don't get mad at me. You go to the doctor and you say, tell me, doctor, whatever it is I need to do, tell me. You come to church and say, no, please don't tell me that. Please don't. And you want the doctor to tell you what medicine to take, don't you? Are y'all, you're really, really listening or really, really under conviction because you are quieter than a turkey farmyard on Thanksgiving Day. Maybe it's sinking in. I know of a church where the services were getting dull. They started getting boring. The pastor got the men together. He said, we're going to start fasting every Saturday. They didn't eat a bite on Saturday. Went to church on Sunday. Still didn't eat till after church on Sunday afternoon. And he said immediately there was a difference in that atmosphere of that church. You know what them bus kids need to feel? They need to feel the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you're 5 years old, brother. God's Holy Ghost will make a difference to them kids. I know what I'm talking about. I know where I speak tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, they fasted and prayed in Acts 13:23 and laid their hands on them and sent them out. Before they sent them men out to the mission field, they laid their hands on them and fasted. God have mercy because of the fast. Jonah chapter 3 changed God's mind on Nineveh because of the fast. Isaiah 58 and verse 8 said, then shall thy light come. Then shall your understanding come. Message is told. Then your health will spring forth. Now, this is off the subject. One of the benefits you get from fasting is your health springs forth. You'll be healthier. It's a fact. doctors now are saying that your digestive system needs a break once in a while. I always illustrate it like this. I don't know what's inside there, in your intestines or whatever, wherever your food goes. But I picture, you know, when you eat and you pile a bunch of stuff in, like we did yesterday evening, Lord have mercy, thought I was going to die. And then I said, man, I ain't never eaten nothing else. I ate yesterday evening all that fish and stuff we eat over yonder. And I thought, boy, you know, you got these guys down there, and they're like these little men. And they're working in this little room, and they got little jackhammers, little hammers. And when something comes down there, here comes an apple, all right? Bang, bang, bang. And they chop that apple up so it can go on through. And you get the good stuff, and it goes into your protein or whatever, makes you stronger, and then the waste goes on through you. And they got these little jackhammers. Well, before they can get that apple busted up, here comes a big piece of steak, hits them in the head. About that time, here comes some more bread. Here comes salad dressing. Here, ketchup. Hush, puppy. French fries. You give them about an hour and a half break. About the time they get it chopped up, candy bars, a donut. Them poor little fellas are working themselves to death. Your body's miserable, and all your efforts go into your stomach. You say, who told you that? I figured it out. And you know how I figured it out? Because dogs that get sick won't eat. That's how I figured that out. You ever notice you get sick, it won't eat? It eats grass. I don't know why a dog eats grass when it gets sick. But when dog, you know why a dog won't eat? You know how come when you get real sick you don't have no appetite? Because all the blood in your body rushes to that part that's sick to heal itself. Like if you get cut or something like that, you know, your whole body's trying to heal whatever it is wrong with you. Now, if you're using all your blood digesting all that food, you can't heal yourself. And I'm telling you, listen, it's food is addictive. It's like a drug. I wouldn't doubt they ain't putting some stuff in some food to make you crave it all the time. There's a lot of studies out now that suggest there's stuff. Have you noticed nowadays that girls reach puberty at 11 years old and they didn't used to? There's about whatever, half, 14, 15, they're having babies at 9 and 10, 11. You say, how come, brother? Because of all them chicken nuggets. That's what they're saying. They shoot stuff in them chickens that makes them grow up in about 2 days, and then we're eating it, brother, and it's doing something to us. Now, me personally, I love chocolate. I love it. All three of my girls back there, chocolate addicts. Oh, we love chocolate, buddy. I could eat it every day, every day. And you know what I do? Sometimes I say, I ain't eating no chocolate this week. I didn't last week. I didn't last week because I didn't last week. Nope, none, 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 none. And I go for about a week without it. And the first time I eat it, it tastes like pure sugar. You can tell it ain't really good for you the first time you put it in your mouth. But if you eat it every day, it's just like nothing. You don't even notice it. And I am not a health nut. I am not one of these people that say, you know, live off leaves and rabbit food and stuff like that. I'm not, buddy. I'm a meatitarian. I'll be sin to eat vegetables. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Our problem is we don't give our stomach a rest, and it can't ever get empty. Some of y'all's intestines haven't been empty since you was about 2 days old. The first sign of a little hunger, oh, I got to have something to eat. I got to have something to eat. We take these young people some places, and before you can get out of Morgan, they got to stop at the store and get a Mountain Dew. And Mountain Dew is the worst thing you can possibly drink that's not alcoholic besides Sun Drop. Mountain Dew is the worst thing you can make. I mean, more caffeine make you fatter than anything is a Mountain Dew. And then a cola's come right after that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying it's sin. I don't really like Mountain Dew. I'm not saying it's a sin, but I'm saying the more you do it, the more addicted you are to it. That's why you ought to drink water, like this right here, brother. Drink it. It's good for you. Come right. My daughter Carrie, I credit her with this. They all went on that Atkins diet about 3 years ago. You know when everybody went on the Atkins diet? No carbs. No potatoes, no bread, no this, no that, da-da-da-da-da. And she said, Daddy, I drunk 3 or 4 Pepsis a day all my life. At least 3 or 4 a day, at least. And she said, Daddy, start drinking water with your food. And I said, shoot, I can't stand it. I don't care what I eat, I want Pepsi to drink. I drink Pepsi with eggs and bacon. I drink Pepsi with... Amen, can't y'all do that? Half of you saying yeah, half of you saying no. I like milk, but brother, I can drink Pepsi with anything. I mean, Pepsi with anything. And Pepsi with biscuits and gravy. Pepsi with sausage and eggs. Don't matter. And I said, all right, I'm going to try it. So I quit drinking Pepsi and started drinking water. And you know now it don't even taste. Water is the best thing there is to drink with a meal. I drink about 1 Pepsi a month now, and I don't miss them one bit. I got a friend of mine who quit drinking Pepsis. That's all he did, quit drinking Pepsi. He didn't change his diet. He didn't change what he ate or nothing. Lost 35 pounds in a few weeks. All he did is quit drinking Pepsis. Because it's like, in that much right there, there's about this much sugar. Pure sugar. I'm not trying to run your life. I'm just saying there is physical benefits of fasting. I know a preacher who had severe ear infections. He said he had ear infections all the time. He said they got so bad, he couldn't hardly stand it. We're eating ourselves to death, people. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to be your friend tonight. I'm trying to help you. We're digging our grave with a spoon and a fork. I'm telling you tonight, brother, we are. Listen, he had ear infection. He said he started fasting every week, and his ear infection cleared up. He said before that, all he would help him was an antibiotic. He said every time he got an ear infection, he'd go straight to the doctor and get an antibiotic, take it for a few days, and it'd clear up. He said when he started fasting, his ear infections quit just like that. What he said? It'll loose those things that hinder you. Amen? So what you do when you fast is every time your stomach says, I'm dying, say, Lord, please bless the youth rally. Please, Lord, supply the need for the new building. Please, Lord. And your stomach will say, if you don't get me something down here, you'll never see the new building. Because I'm going to kill you. And let me say this. Do you know about half that stuff just meant it's in your mind? I've caught my sorry self. I've caught my sneaky little self, trying to play tricks on me. You know how I've caught myself? Normally, like tomorrow, Tuesday, I don't even get hungry till 12 or 12:30. Ever. If I'll go home and eat some peanut butter and crackers or something tonight, something like that, and I won't be hungry till tomorrow at 12:30. Always. Tuesday, 12:30, I'll start getting hungry. I've just done that for years and years and years. I eat 2 times a day, 12:30 and 10:30. And that's terrible. But I do that because of preaching. You know, you don't want to. Have you ever seen a preacher go eat a big supper and then try to preach? He's like, the Bible said, you don't want to do that. It's awful. So I eat at 10:30, eat after you preach at night. And that's bad. You ain't supposed to eat at night. You ain't supposed to eat past 6 in the evening or whatever. But on Monday and Tuesday, I don't get hungry till 12:30. Wednesday morning, when I start fasting, by 9:30 or 10 o'clock, I'll be saying, God, I've got to have something to eat. I'm starving. You know what? That's your mind playing tricks on you. You just think you can't do it. And here's the way to do it. Here's the way you do it. You make up your mind and say, I don't care what you say. I don't care how it feels. You ain't getting nothing. Now shut up. I've caught myself talking to myself a lot lately. I do. I've been talking to myself lately. It's cool. I, 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 I was in my bedroom. I was in my bedroom the other day, and I think Obama or Hillary or something, and I was just talking. I said, well, you're stupid. You know. I was just telling them all. Nobody's in there. One day, Krista heard me holler something like that. She said, you all right? It was several months ago, but I do that. I'm getting something getting wrong with me. But you know what? I talk to myself, shut up. You're not getting nothing. Now you might as well hush. About 2 o'clock that evening, something will say, come on now. One little bite of something. The only way you can fast is you make up your mind you're not going to eat. If you say, I'm going to try to fast tomorrow, forget it. It ain't going to happen. Because about 3 hours after you start trying, you'll say, well, I tried. Give me a cheeseburger. Build up the old places. Thou shalt be called the repairers of the breach, what the Bible said. Here's what Jesus said one time. They tried to get him to eat, and he said, I have meat to eat ye know not of. Man, I fasted one time for the youth rally. I think the year before last, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there were 6 days that week, and three of them I didn't eat nothing. I was thinking like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Monday, Tuesday, and Saturday, or something like that. I've done that a bunch of times. And boy, by Saturday night service, I tell you what, I felt weak and sort of trembling like that. And the devil said, now you can't preach in this kind of shape. No. And I'm telling you, when I started preaching, I felt like Superman. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth tonight, people. Most churches you'll never hear this in. They don't believe in it no more. You know what the sin of Sodom was? You know what the Sodom's sin was? It said, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. One of the things that'll make you a queer is eating. How you like that? How you like that? I don't know how much harder to get on you than that. You say, all right, I'm ready to fast now. That's what it said. In the Bible it said, fullness of bread. They had so much to eat that, you know, they just give the flesh everything it wants. See, that's what, you just give your flesh everything it wants. If you give your flesh everything it wants, you know where you're going to wind up? Prison. Somebody shoot you, or you're going to wind up in prison and then hell. I'm closing tonight. You'll feel better. You'll think clearer. Your body will go through a cleanse, and physically you'll lose some pounds that you might need to get rid of. Good for you. I know people come out with these weight loss things all the time. I got one guarantee. They say, well, someone on TV, and all it tells you is that Nutrisystem, and it's only $80 a week. So I got one that's free. Matter of fact, you'll save money. Won't cost you a penny, and you'll lose weight. Don't eat. You say, I've tried every diet in the world. Don't worry. I know one that'll work. Buddy, you don't eat, you'll lose weight. You say, I fasted one day and didn't lose nothing. Do it again another day or two. Do it again another day. I'll guarantee it. Guarantee it. You know, watch this. Now, you know how I'm going to get up there? Go up these steps. What if I get a video and watch it? What if I get a thing? Yeah, I'm still up. You know how I get back down them steps? I go back down. Does that make any sense to y'all? I mean, you know how I get back down here? I go opposite the way I went up. I get up there like this. I go back down like this. Y'all still don't get it. If you eat and get a certain... You know how to not get that? Go and don't eat. Duh. Back down the steps! Opposite of what you've been doing. And you go back down. Now we're going to have... I'm proclaiming tonight for Shining Light Baptist Church a 40-day fast. We're going to, by the help of the Lord, not to be a smart aleck, not to be a show-off, not so we can feel spiritual. Lord knows we don't get no joy out of this at all. Our flesh don't like it. We'll fast. You can fast from like tonight till tomorrow night, or you can fast the full day tonight till Tuesday morning. Have you ever... got up. I've seen lots of people do this. And they come through the house and say, I'm hungry. Open the refrigerator and say, I don't know. Open the cabinet and say, we ain't got nothing. It's full. We ain't got nothing to eat. Let's go out. Go right around town. You want to go there? Nah. Want to go fish camp? Nah. Steak camp? Nah. I don't know. Some of y'all rode around half town in the last few weeks trying to figure out where you wanted to go eat. I tell you what's wrong with you. You ain't hungry. You're just doing it out of habit. Don't eat nothing from now on Tuesday. And then go open your refrigerator. Son, it won't take you 10 seconds to find something in there you want. Cold biscuit and mater sound just fine. Amen? You like cold biscuit and mater? That's right, brother. Cold biscuit, Mom used to cold biscuit and mater and mayonnaise and pepper and salt on it. It's like a feast if you don't eat nothing from now till Tuesday. Our problem is our God is our belly. Our God's